Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, June 21st. What a day around here. Very nice summery weather. First day of summer. But, of course, we've had summer for quite a bit of time. It's hot and humid, so summer is here in Texas. Today we're going to talk about the Democrats and immigration. I have a few thoughts about the border crisis and the family separation crisis that has consumed most of the media here for the last couple of days. But I want to begin with a interesting story that I saw in the internet today. And I have a post about this coming out Friday morning. And it has to do, I'm sure many of you remember the sonic attacks, so these electric attacks that U.S. diplomats suffered in Cuba. It was the weirdest thing in the world. Only U.S. diplomats were impacted by these attacks. There was one Canadian, but I think he was with a bunch of Americans when it happened. But you basically had these electronic attacks that sort of affected your hearing, and it only happened to Americans, which is weird, because if something like this had happened, I don't know, some mistake or some, I don't know, whatever, and had it been, had it gone to a lot of different people, a lot of other diplomats, then you could argue that it was just a freak of nature or whatever, and a bunch of people were impacted. But it was only American diplomats, one Canadian, but I think he was with the Americans when it happened. So this has been quite a question mark, and the State Department, of course, has been asking for explanations. They even sent an FBI team to Cuba, I believe, and the explanation from Cuba is that it was crickets, or that it was this or this or this or that. The bottom line is we have not gotten to the source of the problem, but at the same time, you do have some American diplomats, U.S. diplomats, who were forced to return back to the United States, and in many cases, they've had to get medical treatment. Now, some of these diplomats have decided to hire an attorney, and they're basically going after the State Department saying, hey, you're not paying enough of our bills or whatever, which is a bit strange to me, because I would think that if you're a diplomat and you go overseas and you are the target of something like this, that you would be covered by whatever health insurance or medical plan they have at the State Department. I mean, it was not like just one person got it. As I say, a bunch of diplomats got it. And how this is all going to turn out is a bit strange to me, frankly, how it's all going to turn out. I don't know how the courts are going to react to a case like this. But the bottom line is that we really don't know what's going to happen until the United States government, the Trump administration, defines what happened and who is going to be held responsible. For example, if the Trump administration came out and said, you know, this is a freak of nature, something happened that nobody knows what happened, then I think that maybe, you know, this lawsuit may have some merit. But if they come out and say, no, we believe that this was a targeted attack against U.S. diplomats, and I repeat, only U.S. diplomats plus a Canadian who was with a bunch of U.S. diplomats, if they believe that this is what happened, that it was a targeted attack on U.S. diplomats, and I think the Trump administration may take some very drastic measures against Cuba, and in fact go as pretty far as you can go against another country without declaring war. That is in the event that we, of course, determine that this was an attack on diplomats from the Cuban government itself. It could have been from another country. And that has always been a mystery to me, because to pull something like this, you got to be pretty sophisticated. And I, you know, I'm not sure that the Cuban government is that sophisticated. So how it's all going to come down, I think, will determine whether or not this lawsuit against the United States is going to go very far. But I think we're going to find out soon. I think we're going to find out soon, certainly in the next few months, because all indications are that they're working on figuring out what happened and trying to find out what happened. If that the decision is that it was the Cuban government who did this, then I think you're going to see a pretty harsh reaction against the Cuban government. As I say, we're probably going to go as far as almost to the point of using military action. We're not going to use the military, but I'm just saying it'll be as close to that, a diplomatic reaction as close to declaring war as can be possible, because you cannot have your diplomats attacked in this fashion in another country. I mean, it's simply not an acceptable thing. So keep an eye on this story. I just have a feeling that we're going to hear a lot more about it over the next few months. Well, I mentioned that this border crisis with the parents and the Democrats. Look, the Democrats are obviously squeezing this thing as much as they can for political reasons. These were the same Democrats who had no trouble whatsoever when Obama was president, doing very much the same thing. I mean, look, there have been stories in the last few days of how many of these things were happening under the Obama administration when they were holding kids separate from their parents and so on. But there weren't any marches or any demonstrations, no great outrage about this when it was being done under an Obama presidency. Now, the truth of the matter is I was not blaming Obama back then because it was a very difficult thing that the Obama administration was trying to do. So I cut them a little slack when they were basically processing all of these people. And I just wish that the critics of President Trump would cut him a little slack, too. This is a very complicated problem. People showing up on your border, and they show up separately. The kids come over here. The parents come over here. The parents cross the border illegally. The kids are already over here. So it's a very complicated problem, and the Democrats are basically squeezing it for everything they can for political reasons. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think it's going to work politically for the Democrats, because I mean, most people probably have my position on this. They look at this situation and they go, hey, I want to keep families together. I want to keep families together. That's fine. I want to keep families together, too. I want to keep families together, too. My family came to the United States many years ago from Cuba. We were not technically seeking asylum, but we were political refugees. So I understand families wanting to stay together. You know, that's fine. That's a good thing. But the problem here is that if you go to the American people and you say, do you want to keep families together? Of course they're going to say yes. I would say yes, too. But if you go to the American people and say, do you want open borders? Do you want people just coming in without any regard for immigration laws or whatever? They're going to say no. And that's the dilemma that the Democrats are in, because the Democrats are basically saying, yes, you've got to take all these people and you've got to, you know, put them together and blah, blah, blah. No restrictions. Well, that may play well in the districts that they're already going to win. But that's not going to play well in the districts that they have to win. I mean, for example, right now there's five Democrat senators: Montana, North Dakota, Missouri, Indiana, West Virginia. These are five incumbent Democrats who are probably not going to be too much in favor of an open border policy, because that would be disaster in their states. So the Democrats, I think, there's a very interesting article that came out today that the Democrats should actually sit down with President Trump. This is what I would recommend to the Democrats. Sit down with President Trump and try to work out a deal that includes DACA, a deal that includes maybe some type of process of legalization for some of the people who are here, but at the same time has very strong border security, has very strong employer sanctions. Basically say, yes, we're gonna work with the people, but at the same time we're gonna get very tough on immigration enforcement. And that's what they don't want to do. They don't want to get tough on immigration enforcement. They just want to be popular. In other words, they just want to take positions with people. And I think this is going to kill them politically. This is going to kill them politically, because as I said, I think most Americans would love to see families together, but they don't necessarily want to see open borders. And that's where the Democrats are going to get killed in this debate. And that's why I think President Trump was very smart yesterday in signing that executive order. I don't think the executive order, frankly, is going to give up much of anything, because there is already a law that was passed by Congress and signed by the president. So President Trump's hands are limited by the fact that there's a law on the books that tells you to do this and that. So he's basically given some of the border agents a little discretion on this topic. But at the end of the day, the Democrats have to put something on the table more than everything critical of Trump, or otherwise I don't think they're going to win this debate, because I think Trump wins the debate when he argues for border security and control over a chaotic border. And if the Democrats are going to take the other side, let them do that. But I don't think that's a winning strategy when they get into the midterm, especially in all of those competitive districts that they have to win if they want to win a majority. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear from my friend Carlos Guedes, and then we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guedes Harpies. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sisiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sisiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlo's website on the show information right under show description. You'll be able to see the link and just click on that, and it'll tell you where he's playing around Dallas. Well, we say happy number 74 to Ray Davies. For those of you who are baby boomers like me, you remember a rock and roll group called the Kinks. They were very popular back in the 60s and into the 70s. They may still be popular today, although I've lost touch with many of those groups over the last few years. But Ray Davies, they had a great sound, the Kinks, you know, a well-respected man all day and all of the night. They had that great song called Lola. I'm sure you remember that one. So Ray Davies, one of the true characters of rock back in the late 60s. On this day in 1940, Richard Nixon married Patricia Ryan, who became Mrs. Nixon on this day in 1940. They, of course, were a great couple. I personally loved Mrs. Nixon. I thought she was a really classy lady. When you consider everything that her husband went through, and she always maintained her dignity and her class, I really loved Mrs. Nixon. Now, she died in 1993, and he died in 1994. So we remember today what would have been the 78th anniversary of President and Mrs. Nixon. Let's go back to 1788 on this day. This was the day that the U.S. Constitution was finally ratified. As you remember from your history, in the summer of 1787, the delegates met in Philadelphia. They agreed to a draft of the Constitution. That document was sent to all of the other 13 states, and it was, state by state would approve the Constitution. And on this day in 1788, the state of New Hampshire came in as the ninth vote, and that, of course, gave the Constitution the majority. I don't remember whether it was three quarters or two thirds or just a simple majority. I don't remember, but they were the ninth one who came in ratifying the Constitution. So on this day in 1788, the Constitution became the law of the land. Now, of course, there were some changes still to come, and most of those changes came in the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, what we now call the Bill of Rights. And that, of course, we're all familiar with the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, and so on. But it was on this day, 1788, that the U.S. Constitution was ratified. And when you think about that, that's 230 years ago today. And I've often wondered, when you read about these anniversaries of the U.S. Constitution or the Declaration of Independence, I've often wondered if the men who signed it, whether it was the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution, the men who were in the first government, let's say, like George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, and so on, I often wonder if the men who gave us that, who were there at the very beginning, if somebody had said to them, do you think we'll be around in 230 years? I wonder what they would have said. I suppose they would have publicly said, yes, of course. We're signing this forever. And that's understandable that they would say that. But there had to be some doubts. There had to be some doubts, I'm sure, in the minds of some of these men, because after all, what they were doing was so revolutionary. I don't think that anything like this had been tried before. I'm not a student of world history, but I don't think anything quite like this had been tried before. And here they were, 230 years ago, putting the touches, their final touches, on what became the law of the land, the U.S. Constitution, ratified on this day, 1788. Well, have a wonderful day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Happy day of summer. Happy first day of summer. And we'll talk to you later.